Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens, at the heart of Irish homes for over 40 years. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
A reminder that coming up before the end of the programme today, we'll be joined by our regular GP, Dr. Maura Finn, who will be discussing urinary incontinence. Now, that's a problem that affects very many people in Ireland, but lots of those people are too embarrassed to ask for help. So Maura will be explaining all about the causes, the symptoms and what you can do about it. So if you do have any questions, text us. Now is your chance. 51551. With a push to bolster numbers in our defence forces, one way of attracting and retaining recruits has been to increase the availability of refurbished accommodation in our army barracks and naval base. Now, some of this accommodation has been underused for decades and it has now been brought back into use. Brian O'Connell was on the naval base in Hall Boland this week, where he spoke to recruits and saw firsthand the development of accommodation blocks. And Brian is with us now. So, Brian, there's a significant push on now to increase numbers in the Defence Forces. We've been hearing a lot about this.
We've been hearing a lot because the challenge is to retain existing members of the force and also attract sufficient new ones. It's a very significant challenge. Recent figures showed we've just over 7,500 men and women serving in the Defence Forces. That's 2,000 short of what they would need. Over the last 27 months, I saw figures released showed a total of 1,800 left the forces, just over 1,800. That's just under 1,500 from the Army, 211 from the Navy and 144 from the Air Corps. There have been some improvements to allowances, particularly in the Navy, but the numbers leaving have surpassed the numbers being recruited, and this has had an impact obviously on the ability, for example, in the Navy to be able to put all available vessels to sea and then to carry out all the tasks they'd like to be able to do.
And of course, given the housing crisis then, Brian, one major issue for recruits is being able to afford rented accommodation.
And especially the case where, for example, you might be at sea for a period of time and you may have to maintain and pay for a room, for example, could cost upwards of 800 a month, depending where you are in the country. So I suppose recognising this, there are some significant refurbishment works underway currently at Hall Boland Naval Base. I was there this week, as you said, I met with two recruits living on the base now, and I got a tour of these newly refurbished accommodation blocks. I began with a walk around, Claire, with Lieutenant Commander Michael Burincardy.
So the naval base has been here a long time, going back into the 18th century. But again, what these buildings were originally used for, certainly in our time, the Navy's time here, is office space. But again, with the accommodation needs of the Navy, and as the Navy is regenerating and regrowing, we're going to have to identify further accommodation spaces. So we're using these historic buildings, regenerating them, and using them for accommodation spaces.
And obviously, given the accommodation crisis away from the naval base, it's a significant issue now, I'd imagine.
Absolutely. And again, if we can provide accommodation for our personnel to live on island, it just saves them having to go out into a high rent market. They have their own space, which is important. So if
you're not checking if the lights are out at 10 o'clock,
no,
are you?
that's up to them. Accommodation was always here, but again, I suppose when there was more accommodation available outside people had the tendency to live out,
there wasn't
a need, whereas now Carrigaline is a high rent pressure area with all the pharma companies and stuff like that, which are beneficial to Cork Harbour overall, but again there's the draw on the accommodation, and again we're a small group in this market, so again it's trying to get accommodation for our personnel. They were built by the Royal Navy way back when, so again they're very striking, they're historically preserved buildings. So again, as you can see, block 4, we're actually building a building inside a building. So we're actually maintaining the facade. And again, that will be accommodation space. So you're asking about, is it in high demand? It is. We have to increase the size of the Navy to meet the government's ambition of level of ambition 2+. So that means we're going to have to take in more people. So again, the high demand is to get accommodation onto the island. And that's what we're working at the moment.
So Brian, you met some of the more recent recruits and you saw that accommodation for yourself too.
It's of a very high standard. Each floor has its own sitting room and kitchen. The rooms all have AC. They're en suite. The first person I met was Abel Mechanician Daniel Tusex. He served on the LE George Bernard Shaw. He actually lived on the ship, Clare, until he got his accommodation on site. So he showed me where he's currently living on the naval base.
So here is your mess area. Okay. You have a TV, you have your couches, your tables. So on this floor, they're all three-person rooms. Okay. So I share with two other people.
What's the advantage for you having this space here?
I was on the ship for 3 years, so for the first year and a half, I was staying on the ship. Okay, so I finish work, go down to my cabin, I stay there then, and it's hard to switch off when you're still like in your workspace. So when I got this space, I could kind of shut off, get away from everything, and just...
The possibility of renting in the private rental market off the island is difficult, I'd imagine.
It is. It's a lot more expensive as well and difficult to find. So here you're not even paying half the amount.
What made you want to join the Navy?
For an experience. I joined in 2020, so it was in the middle of COVID. And I thought, I was scrolling through Facebook and I seen an advertisement for the Navy and I decided to put it in, you know? I said, why not? I was more focused on overseas trips and I did get them. I got overseas to Portugal, to London, to Glasgow, so they're all fun experiences.
And sell it to somebody who might be considering it.
The Navy can offer a lot in terms of, educating yourself. You can get a trade here. You can be an electrician, a plumber. Do you know, it offers a lot. You don't have to pay for anything, okay? So the Navy provides it. Bar, like, you have to go to sea
time.
As well.
You pay
with time, basically, yeah.
So it does sound like a pretty good standard of accommodation. For Daniel there, having lived on that ship for 3 years, I suppose this gives him a better work-life balance.
Definitely, because I suppose when you go to sea for several weeks or even months, and then when you have downtime, as you can imagine, if you're living on the ship, it's very hard to disconnect. When I was at the base yesterday, one of the new inshore patrol vessels, which has come from New Zealand, it was heading out to sea. I think they're testing it for a couple of days. So that'll obviously relieve some of the pressure on the large vessels and take that pressure off. Now, I also met with Able Communications operator Amy Campbell, and she showed me her accommodation as well in these newly refurbished accommodation blocks. So she has a single room, by the way, so female recruits don't have to share like Daniel does. We were walking up the old stone stairs to her accommodation, and I asked Amy, what was that moment when she decided she wanted to join the Navy?
I always wanted to join from when I was 16. I was always doing sailing and it took me till I was 23 to actually apply. So this is it's a single berth, so a single bed.
So the poor old devils down below, we've three of them in the room and you were here with...
Yeah, this is all the female accommodation.
Okay. And tell me about life in the Navy for you.
It's a career, you know, you get to travel. Like, I've been overseas. I went to Boston, Halifax in Canada. So like, you do get to see an awful lot. Your food and accommodation is provided. You do have to pay rent.
Roughly how much is that?
It works out at about 40 a week.
Your bills, your accommodation, your food.
Yeah, it's like supplemented. Obviously, when you're at sea, you've accommodation on the ship. But then when you come in, you've accommodation here.
And the allowances for being at sea have improved.
Yes. Yeah.
Has it made a difference, do you think, Amy? Like, is it a significant improvement or is it something you notice?
It is something you notice, yeah. So at the moment I'm actually on a comms 2 course, so I'll be finished that in 2 weeks, and then hopefully I'll be on the next year's POTS course, so to become an NCO, a non-commissioned officer. That's for next year, but yeah.
See how this year goes first.
Yeah, exactly.
That's Amy. Now, the improvements and upgrades, Brian, they're all in this effort, as you said a little bit earlier, to attract more recruits.
And it's not just on the naval base in Hall Boland where this refurbishment is happening. Collins's Barracks in Cork, they have upgraded accommodation for 41 soldiers who are undertaking training or are living on the base. It's a €4.5 million accommodation block there that was opened recently. Work's underway as well in Galway, Clare. And in total, this overall programme, it's going to be 10 accommodation projects. It's going to provide about 565 bed spaces across the country, a cost of €56 million. So I suppose we're really seeing the impact of the housing crisis and something extra that the Defence Forces can offer recruits. There is also obviously the issue of pay, and this is something in the Navy where there have been some improvements, as Lieutenant Commander Michael Brunicardi explained.
We've seen a steady improvement in the pay and conditions. Again, there's stuff which is still being negotiated, but so going back to the doubling of the patrol duty allowance, that is a significant jump in what our seagoing personnel were getting. Roughly, you're talking, give or take, small differences on rank, but you're probably talking about €1,900 per patrol per person.
And that's on top of your salary?
Yeah, it's the package that our personnel now can access through service with the Navy. So accommodation coupled with seagoing allowances and better conditions in service, we're looking at increasing, you know, getting a second gym onto the naval base. So all these facilities are available to our personnel.
I mean, there was a recognition that too many of our vessels were tied up, that we didn't have the personnel to put on them, to put them to sea, to patrol our waters. I mean, that was the reality.
Our core business is maritime defence and security operations. It's being at sea. But a ship is nothing without the people. So we need people to serve, to come into the Navy, whether that's for a short period, for 5 years, 10 years, or to make a full-time career out of it.
Is enough done, do you think, now to attract the number of recruits that you need?
No, it's a constant battle we need to, and we need to be adapting the whole time. The other thing we need to do is we need to retain our people in service.
And why aren't we retaining them?
Because when you're down 300 plus people, it puts an added
burden.
Pressure. Exactly. So people, instead of doing one man or woman per job, it's three jobs per person. And that adds a strain. And again, the financial incentives are part of it. But I think if you ask 99% of the Navy people here, why did you join? It wasn't to be a millionaire. It was for something different.
And that was Lieutenant Commander Michael Bruni-Cardy speaking to our own Brian O'Connell. Now, the Navy will be holding a recruitment drive this weekend in Sir John Rogerson's Quay in Dublin. For anyone who might be interested in finding out more, the LE William Butler Yeats will be open to the public for tours. There'll be personnel on hand to discuss those careers in the Navy. You can follow their social media accounts for times, and you'll find them at Irish Defence Forces on Instagram. Now, lots of questions coming in for Dr. Maura Finn on urinary incontinence. And we'll get some answers for you after this.
Text 51551 today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.